Welcome to the Air Combat Simulation Podcast, brought to you by BVR Productions. Together with content creators, mission builders, experts, and enthusiasts, we explore the comprehensive world of combat aircraft simulation.
Welcome, everybody, to the Air Combat Sim Podcast. Today's guest is the BMS developers, Max and JP, if you want to say hi.
Hello.
Hello, guys.
And then we also got my man Sport and Rob, the GOAT.
Hola. Hey, guys, how you doing?
So we got a mixture of English, French, and Spanish in here.
Mix of culture is always good.
Yeah. Let's see here. Where do we want to get started with? So when's the last time we had an interview with you guys? Let's start with that.
You know what? I was thinking, and I think it was somehow 2 years ago, more or less.
Sounds about right.
It was around the same period of time in 2 years ago that we had the interview with me and High Oak from the BMS team as well.
I remember.
I was not there, else you would have remembered.
Well, this one's going to be epic. Don't worry.
Well, it's good to have you guys back on the show, and it's good
to
announce Sport. It's Sport's first show here as a guest, or as a host, sorry.
I think...
Thanks, Sport, for joining us.
Not a problem. I think I did one with MicroProse, a while ago, but it's been certainly a while since I've been on the show, but I do appreciate the invite and hopefully be able to do more in the future.
Yeah, so let's get into the discussion of why you're here today. So... 4.36 is right around the corner for BMS, so what is it?
What is it, Max?
What is it?
Well, I'll start, but I'll share this the time with my friend here, JP. So last time we spoke, we were I think freshly releasing 3.5, no, 3.5 was later on, but we were still 3.4. 3.5 came in the way, and now we are about to, or by the time this podcast is released, 3.6 will be out. And yes, it's been a huge work. I think more than 3 years of development behind it, and we are at the end of the development for the first initial release. Obviously, development will still continue to mostly fix bugs and add a couple features in and there, mostly correct stuff. But yeah, we were super excited to release it. Actually, you can't imagine how long we've been working on that, and now we are releasing it. We are super excited to actually bring BMS to the next stage of not only evolution but stability. Mostly, I would say.
So how big is your team now, anyway?
I would say we are a handful. There's what we have as a number of people within the team and the truly active people, which is always debatable, to be honest, within the team. So I would say a handful, super active, and extended team with people that are interacting on a weekly, daily basis, depending on what they're doing. I would say between 30, 40 people extended.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which means everything included, of course, which means coders, data developers, beta testers, artists.
That's a lot of people.
No, it's not enough. Obviously, it's not enough. In the last few years, I mean, we have been very open. I'm saying that compared to, let's say, 10 years ago. But still, we are delighted to bring new people, but we need to find people with the right motivation, because it's always super exciting to get in. But then after that, you realize that it's really painful. It's more difficult to continue having, you know, the stamina to do it.
Yeah, I
can imagine. But that's a lot of fun.
No, I was just going to say, you know, you're absolutely right. But I will say that, you know, to have that many people coming together with a common passion just to do this is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it is. To be honest, I remember words before I joined the team officially. Officially, I joined the team like a year ago. JP was not joking when he was saying, "Well, quit flying BMS, start coding, yeah. start developing." And to be honest, I haven't really touched the stick on BMS except for beta testing for more than a year now. I haven't really been flying publicly, even with the Falcon Lounge that I also have founded for BMS. So. But in the meantime, there's been a lot of things that have been pushed publicly, especially on the website assets. People that are a bit active with the committee have seen that we've got since then a brand new website, brand new forum, a couple new assets that we've developed, and obviously I'm also trying to help where my knowledge is, which is mostly in the I would say putting in place tools and assets for BMS in terms of easiness to share information, changing the repositories and things like that. So we are internally in a transition phase. We're trying to change a bit the culture. It's a tight group in terms of number of people. We are trying our best to bring a bit of change. Because we're trying to evolve with the new tools that we have.
What Max is saying basically is that we are mainly boomers and we are working with IRC and ICQ, so he's trying to change.
Wow. What's your ICQ number?
9683. I think I can still remember it.
Oh my god.
I forgot mine by since then.
Yeah, but personally, I joined BMS in 2002, I believe.
So 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago, and but it's always great to keep the same spirit, even of course, if sometimes it evolves with new people coming, new ideas, new ways of seeing things, new tools, of course, new competences. But still, we are all driven by the same passion, and because we like Falcon 4.0, and we like what we can find inside. And I think this is what BMS is. It's a bunch of people who loves the sim and that are just happy to continue developing it.
I was just about to say that. So when's Falcon 5.0 coming out?
Good question. I don't know if we can say 5.0 will see the day. For now, we stick to 4.x for the time being.
When was the original release date of Falcon 4.0?
98,
I believe it's somewhere in December 1998.
Was it on CD or floppy?
CD at the time.
Yeah,
I think I still have my original Falcon 4.0 CD and manual somewhere in my parents' basement.
Yeah, and the other day we've got one guy in the team that actually posted a picture of his. He has the whole folder, the Falcon 4 folder with CDs, manual, maps, and everything was signed by the people from the original team.
Is your signed by the original team support?
It's not. I can get my mom to sign it though.
But that's very funny because you know sometimes
signed mom.
When you read here and there, oh, BMS is at graphics of the 90s. I do believe they don't know what graphics of the 90s means. That was just terrific.
Well, and sort of taking a step back, so Max, when we talked to you a few years back. You had just rolled out, and I think you were doing some promotional. You had put up a website, so it sounds like your role has changed. So, what is your role in Mav? What on a daily basis? What do you guys do in terms of the project itself?
I think my role is a Swiss Army knife, if I can call it that. No, I've been to be honest. What we try to bring to the team is the the skills and competencies we have been either we have from a real life perspective, or that we would like, or that we like to develop, because also we have to consider that being part of BMS is also, if we want and if we are continuously driving forward BMS, is because also the people within BMS are setting new targets for themselves and want to learn new stuff. We'll come up with the new terrain, and what we discussed last time with High Hawk is definitely leading the part on the new terrain, for example. And for him, it was definitely a new challenge, because he never did that before. So it's a long learning process, but in the end it pays when it comes to development. Me, I'm very skilled when it comes to websites, a bit of community management, driving all of that. So this is where I thought I would be helpful. So this is where my focus is currently. Will it change in the future? I don't know. Yeah, maybe. We adapt depending on the needs and where the team is going and where we think we should be going. But one thing is true, is we never go. We will never force people to do things they don't like. That's part of the motto of the team, is that you do stuff that you like, because otherwise it becomes it stops being a passion.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Tricker, what would you do that you like to do on the team? If you were to join.
If I were to join the team?
That's correct.
Oh, man. I'd probably be the guy that, like, would get shot down or crash.
You would be the QA tester, the player.
Yeah, I would be the crash test dummy, basically.
Nice.
Yeah. So Tricker, is it an official application to be part of BMS?
Only if Sports Mom signs the application.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll ask her for you.
Why? What would yours be, Rob? What would yours be?
I would be the I do like the crash test dummy, but that's a good question. I would probably be I will come back to you, or even better, pass.
nice, good answer.
Well, so moving on, what would you think the biggest thing that 4.36 is going to, like, bring, like an upgrade from 4.35? Like, what's the biggest thing that people should be excited for?
I'll let GP
Well, that's...
I know it's a big question.
It's not a big question. It's a question that has no answer, because it will depend on what you want in the simulation in BMS. Some people will want something. Maybe they will be disappointed. Some people will want other things, and they will be delighted by seeing it. So I don't think we can bring anything specific on the table. I mean, of course, we have those new features like basket refuel. You can't. I think it was, as I said, basket refuel. I'm talking about it because I was very involved in it, and it's been 20 years we are talking about basket refuel in BMS, and we wanted to do it right, and it was for us a challenge to make it look right and to make it feel right. Obviously, you will tell me, right, but the F-16 is not supposed to do basket refuel, so what's the point? True. However, some other people enjoy some other aircraft in BMS, and this was a challenge. And anyway, watching an AI doing a basket refuel while you're waiting for your boom refuel on a KC-10, for instance, it's good to watch. So that's nice. We have also, globally speaking, we have improved in many areas. One of them, I think, will be appreciated, will be probably AI. As usual in BMS, we consider AI is one of the most important thing, because without AI, you cannot fly proper campaigns. So we have made a lot of efforts on AI, particularly in the air-to-ground operations, which was a bit lacking in the previous version. Air2Air was focused in 4.3.4 and 4.3.5 with BVR stuff, and 4.3.6 bring air-to-ground operation for AI. I mean, it was working, but now it's really working.
So can you go into a little bit of detail with that? Like, for example, what is the process for you to help develop the AI to be better? What are you telling it? What are you reprogramming? What's that process like to bring a better AI into the simulator?
Well, the process is first you try to understand why the original code is not working so well, and by digging, you're digging in, like we say, it's the spaghetti plate in our as we say in Falcon 4.0, it's a big spaghetti plate, and then you discover that it's a big mess, and if you want to fix it, then you have to rewrite it. So that's the first thing, and then basically I think if you want to program a good AI, you have to be able to fly it yourself. I mean, to be able to, let's say BVR, for instance, if you want to program something realistic in BVR, you have to know how to do properly BVR yourself. I cannot imagine how a coder that is not a sim enthusiast or can program something. So for me, first you need to be to have a good knowledge of what you would do in this BVR situation or to ground attack situation, and then you can start programming. Because let's be clear, we are saying AI, but there is nothing. It's not artificial intelligence. It's a state machine, basically. So basically, this state machine is reacting to situations. You can bring some, of course, randomness, probabilities in the reactions, but at the end, the AI is not inventing. The AI is applying what the coder has decided it to apply, depending on many parameters. So the process is first to know perfectly what are the possibilities, what you want to do. For instance, on air to ground, what weapons you can use and what type of attack you will do. Would you do a puppet attack? Would you do a diving attack? Would you do a attack below the cloud layer, above the cloud layer, depending on the situation, depending on the weather, depending on the type of weapon of target you want to attack, and all of these all combined, then you can start being more complex and having different attack profiles and scenarios.
That sounds like a pretty
that was
yeah,
a lot a, to unload
it's a
there.
In-depth process.
That's a big yeah. What would so you were talking about some air to ground improvements? Like what specifically? Like can you give us like something that the air-to-ground or the ground units do now that is better?
Yes. So, the first thing is that AI is now able to do some very low-level attack, which means that previously AI were not able to fly below, if I remember correctly, below 1,000 feet. Whatever you do, they will be unable to fly below 1,000 feet from the ground, of course. And that was because then they would enter into kind of ground avoidance mode. So the first thing has been to teach the AI to fly very low level, like 200 feet. Of course, then you enter into more specific stuff, like if, for instance, the AI is flying a Tier 4 capable plane, it will go down to 200. If they don't, then they can fly at 400, for instance. So the first thing is that now they are able to fly like if they were using a TFR, they are able to follow a player doing that. And then that brings and that opens the door, of course, to many different type of attacks, like pop-ups, pop-up attacks. So now the AI is able to apply many different type of attack profile, like pop up, dive, low level, high level.
Is that something that the player tells the AI to do, or is that just something the AI is programmed to do?
You know BMS a bit. First, when we code it, we don't care about the player first. What is important is that the AI is able to do everything by itself, because 99% of the planes and the aircraft in the campaign are AI. So they are able to choose the right profile, and depending on the target, depending on the weather conditions, because weather conditions are extremely important. Of course, they will not execute, for instance, a high-level attack if there is a layer of clouds where they cannot laze, for instance. So first, they have plenty of conditions where they adapt their flying profile. But then, if a player is their leader, they will obey some commands like weapon freeze or attack targets or attack my target. But still, the profile of the attack will not be commanded by the player. Yet, maybe that could be an idea if someone is interested to do it. Another thing that I think would be much appreciated in the new air-to-ground AI is that for static target, now you are able to assign a specific target to each of your wingmen from the UI.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so if you attack an airbase, you can choose, okay, your number two will attack the control tower, and your number three will attack some part of the runway, and so on. So I think it's great. Yeah.
So as we're talking about AI, I saw that you had some improvements in the generated voices for AI and ATC to make the voice lines. Something in regards to that?
Yes. We have one of our guys. I believe it's Micro. Yeah, he has developed that. So now we are no more limited by the original, frags from Falcon 4.0, and that we can now generate whatever we want, this will sound like the original voices. So that's great.
Yeah. One thing I'd like to add on that is, since we were speaking about AI and puts a bit of a segue here, we are using machine learning to actually learn from the samples of BMS from the different voices to be able to regenerate samples that are missing in the voices, because so far it was about taking a syllabus here and there and be able to reformat a word from existing snippets of audio. But now we are in the process of actually being able to regenerate, thanks to machine learning and the new technologies like that, the old voice samples that we have from Falcon 4.0, actually.
Wow,
those are my favorite, by the way.
Chalice, one.
Especially
one.
When you're doing like the you're doing like the Balkans thing, like they say your flight, and then she's like Aviano Airbase.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something we can correct in the future, especially for the theaters that are being maintained by the people from directly the guys from BMS, yes. Especially Balkan and ITO theaters.
So I love multiplayer, especially in BMS, and IBC is the main program, I guess you'd say, for BMS, for multiplayer. Is it limited on number of clients now, or...?
We do have, by license, a limitation in terms of numbers of clients. It used to be 32 per IVC instance, server instance. But that has been shifted to, I think, 96 or something. So we can host more players on the IVC server host, basically.
Did you just say 96?
I think, yeah, I think license-wise, I think it is 96 with the I would say, open community TeamSpeak license.
Wow. Wow. That would be an intense mission right there.
Well, that opens the door for many other consideration in if we have large scale team versus teams scenarios, for example, especially in those cases. Last year we had something like 100 people would say registering to the team versus team event. And I'm sorry, I'm getting a lot of echoes. It's very difficult to follow.
It's okay. That's sports mic is open mic, and there's an airplane starting up in the back.
Okay, sorry. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so I was saying this. So the limit has been shifted to 96, which means that for team versus team events, like we had one major earlier last year. And we had actually up to 100 people registering to the event, and on the first day of the event we had more than 56, I think, people connected and in 3D.
Wow.
So that opens the door obviously for more people joining in per side and being able to host, I would say, larger scale conflicts like we were trying to do on the team versus team events like last year. Yeah.
So you're trying to take after Battlefield with like 120 people?
Well, the thing is there will be a limitation at some point depending on the areas where people will stand, because in the end, let's not forget that the Falcon world is always a constant transition between a 2D world and a 3D world. So because as you might already have heard, there is a shift between what we consider a statistical world, which is the 2D world basically, and 3D, which everything is simulated. So depending on where people are located on the map, it means that the host or the server will need to deaggregate units in order to simulate them correctly in 3D, and that takes a lot of compute power. So in the end, there will be always be limitations in the numbers of people we'll be able to host, because it will be a problem with the with probably the capacity of the server itself. TVT probably will be a good showcase for a massive I would say pilot versus pilot event, or I would say pilot flying in 3Ds together, at least as a showcase and probably a benchmark for BMS.
No, I'm excited to try that out, especially with more people now. I haven't even done anything more than like four people yet, so.
Yeah. And stability has been one of the core focus of the last, I want to say year, or even more.
Well, that's good to hear.
No, but stability has always been our focus. The problem is that the problem is the more we fix, the more we find. And but now, thanks to amazing coders we have and the new tools as well, the modern tools, it's of course the most stable version we'll ever produce. You know, there is something very simple to understand. When we started, when I started in 22, it took me like an hour to compile the exe. Now it takes me 20 seconds. So obviously you can fix much more stuff than before.
Well, I think that's a good segue to go into. Let's talk about some of the new systems. Anything about Link 16 coming to the new 4.36?
No.
No?
Frequently asked, but for now we'll stick to the IDM. There's been a lot of discussion around it. But no, JP, please go ahead on that, yeah.
But Link 16. The problem, yeah. Of course, maybe someday we'll have Link 16. It's always the same story. You need to find somebody interested in doing it. The topic is not to do the avionics, even if it's very complex, because I'm not sure people realize how complex the Link 16 is. Frankly speaking, when I start to read about it, I'm saying to myself, oh gosh, I need a full course, a real one, because it's extremely complex. But
understandable.
But the thing is, the topic is about the AI. It's a little bit like the IFF. Having a Lean 16 working in the F-16, okay, but what about the world around it? Because the Lean 16 makes sense only if all the AI and all the G-Stars, the AWACS, everything around you is connected and providing good information, the right time, synchronizing the attacks and everything. Because having a Lean 16 having a Lean 16 on the OMFD is pointless.
Well, hopefully one day someone will want to code that, but I can totally understand that would be a full complex. I'm sure that would take a long time.
I'll tell you something. I'm just saying something that will be in 4.3.6. That is in 4.3.6. You know, in BMS, we are playing with packages, right? Packages with several flights in it. And a 4.3.6 features for the first time real interaction between the flights. And I'm talking AI, obviously, which means that before the flights within a package were flying their mission, they were having some common waypoints and synchronized time, but they were not really flying as a team. For the first time in 4.3.6, if you have a seat escort with you, and you're flying, for instance, you're flying an escort or you're flying an attack flight, if you, as an escort, is engaged by, let's say, a SAM, then the seat escort AI will automatically react to the threat and engage the SAM. Like a coordinated package. And that was not the case before.
So the AI will automatically go after different seed packages now, is what you were saying.
Yeah. Before, the seed was reacting only when they were themselves attacked.
Yes,
now
of course.
They react if there another flight in the same package is attacked, which is much different.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
Exactly.
Realism. Yeah. Exactly. No, that's good. That's good. So talking about, Max, I saw the list that you sent me here. So you were talking about the F-18 flight model. Can you elaborate on anything with that, with the F-18?
It's not really the flight model itself. It's just that there were lots of correction expected mostly on the interactions in the cockpit. The gear system also had issues. People were reporting that it was wimbling here and there, wiggling. So it's fixed as well. But to be honest, if I go back a bit on your initial question, which was what do we see as the main new shiny features of 3.6? Since I had the luxury to compile the changelog, I have a pretty good idea of what has been implemented overall. But if I have to wrap it up in a nutshell, and then we can go in details in some of the aspect that might be of interest for you guys to speak. Obviously, there's a lot of 3D assets that have been changed. Even though we are still working with the old terrain, we have implemented a lot of new features object-wise in the airbases to make them more live for the players. People will probably complain on the loss of a bit of FPS compared to the older version, but they have to also take into account that we boosted a lot the airbases in KTO, so in Korea. So there's all of that. Texturing wise, we have improved as well. There is something that that we are very also excited is the new lighting system, because obviously now the you can switch, you have a full control over the external light panel, which means that you can change the strobe patterns, for example, the formation lights. All of that has been implemented fully. So and also coded in the AI to respect the order of each plane in the package, but also in the flight, being able to do covered ops, so the you will dim the lights, so they will only be visible by night vision.
Okay, nice.
So things like that have been implemented. There's something that JP hasn't said yet, but we've got JTAC now.
So, would you like to open that can of worms?
Yeah, do tell.
Yeah. Well, I opened that can for JP actually.
Oh, okay. And here's your torch.
JTAC. Yeah, it has been a story. Yeah, we have a full interactive JTAC implemented. So that means that you can interact with JTAC now with all the, let's say in bracket, official phraseology with the nine line and so on. And JTAC is able to designate targets with laser, with smoke. I like it very much because it gives you the impression that there is actually someone on the ground. And obviously that's not the case. It's just someone in your computer.
Is there going to be like some voices to be coming along with it?
Oh yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You have all the procedure with voices that you have to follow, and the JTAC will give you the nine line and everything, and you can communicate with him. Of course, it's still an AI, but it proves to be very useful and I think it gives you the, as I was saying, it gives you the impression to have really someone on the ground.
So I kind of want to try to figure out how would you program like the JTAC? Is that like automatically in like a mission because there's JTACs on the ground in a war, or?
I don't know. Programming.
As in like, do I have to like go in the UI and say like, hey,
There are specific types of units that are, if you implement, basically if you put specific types of units, you will be able to have the JTAC features coming along with it.
But basically it's like in real. If you are in a CAS mission or pre-planned CAS, interdiction, those kind of missions, and that you have a friendly unit within, I don't remember the numbers, but I think it's written in the manuals, but I think it's within 10 miles of the target. And if this friendly unit is a recon, is an infantry, is a special ops, whatever can do JTAC in real, then you will be able to contact the JTAC.
Okay, cool. Is that going to show up like JTAC frequency in your mission briefing? Is that what that's going to happen?
You contact the JTAC on the tactical frequency.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to ask is like, how do you know what frequency he's on, or how do you know he's there?
But if you basically, it's he will always be on the tactical frequency from your package if he's there. So you check it, and if he doesn't answer, that means he's not there.
Okay. I was just trying to figure out, like, is his tactical channel going to change? That's what I was trying to ask, like, is it in the mission briefing? Because, like, mission briefing goes over all the frequencies that you need.
It's on the tactical channel.
Okay.
It will be basically your uniform 6, basically.
Yeah, your tactical AWACS channel.
Okay, mm-hmm. I understand now.
Yeah, but it will be in a separate menu. So if you want to bring up the JTAC, you will need to press a separate key to check if there is any JTAC in the area. But obviously, you would query it only if you are doing a CAS mission and you know there are units supporting you in the area. Otherwise, it doesn't make really much sense.
But basically, if for instance, if there is a JTAG but it's too far from the target because there is no, if you're too far, you cannot designate a target, so it will answer unable.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a cool feature. Is it going to be? I think you briefly mentioned it. Is it going to be like an AI voice, or is it going to be like a real voice that comes over?
No AI voice. Okay. Generated from the snippet of
coming from the original F4.0 voices, which is absolutely amazing, because those guys in 1990, they thought about it, and we never used it, but the voices frags were there.
Okay, interesting.
That's the ambition of you see the hidden ambitions of Falcon 4. The more 20 years later we find stuff.
Oh wow, that's interesting. I mean, seriously, so there's some underpinnings in there for future features they just never got to.
Yeah, we discovered a couple of things like that. I don't want to reveal anything, but we discovered for the new terrain some features that they implemented 20 years ago that now we have enabled for 3.6, but probably for the next version. We find by digging into the code, like JP is doing and the other guys, they find functions that have been designed 20 years ago in order to feed their ambition of a global scale conflict with a lot of information that they had already pre-coded in. And we find that 20 years later, and we are now able, thanks to the improvement of computers and all of that, to make it real, because computer power is able to sustain the load of all those calls and features.
So you broke the code, basically.
I think BMS is a game of breaking the code and trying to put it back together. Yeah.
Well, no, it's a game of rewriting everything.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty cool though. It must be interesting to look historically back at it and say, oh, they certainly had some intentions of doing this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amazing. The ambition. You can clearly see the ambition, and it was sometimes very poorly done. Very badly done, but the intention is amazing.
So I think the biggest topic now, since we discussed the terrain and campaign stuff, how about 3D, the 3D world, about VR? I think that's the biggest question for everybody.
VR is not going to be shipped with 3.6, unfortunately. There were ambitions to have it shipped with 3.6, but unfortunately skills and time lacked us, and we didn't consider that we should postpone 3.6 release for just VR. So yes, it is in development. We are at the very early stages of it. We've got a proof of concept. It's working. Not for everyone, so it needs a lot more polish. But at least it's starting to be tested, and hopefully the person taking care of it will be able to regain a bit of time to continue his work on it. So we're definitely still looking into it. Unfortunately, can't make it into the initial release of 3.6, but If it can come along the way while we are still pushing updates for it, we'll definitely try to have it pushed with it.
I think everybody would love. I think that would attract a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. I would definitely partake. In
yeah,
the VR,
but
VR version of BMS.
Yeah, but where VR will shine is in not 3.6, but the Envision 3.7, because as we mentioned 2 years ago, the new terrain will be a game changer. We're doing a lot of changes as well in the 3D engine, in the graphical engine. So 3.5 was the introduction of DirectX 11 engine capacity. So we are pushing now little by little the boundaries of what we can do in 3D-wise. And I can tell you that for now, what we see for the next release of not 3.6, but the next one is already for me, from what I know from Falcon and, until now, is very, very, very good. And to be honest, sometimes very mind blowing. I would not expect that to see that in Falcon. And it's like a dream come true, to be honest.
Well, it's good to hear that it's being thought about.
Yeah, but don't worry, guys, about VR. I don't share the same opinion as Max. I believe we are not that far from making it work very good. So
it doesn't work for me yet.
Yeah, but that's because you didn't buy the right set.
it's within your reach, Max.
That's my problem, probably. Yeah.
You know, the only thing that is not working for me is the mouse. So that's
yeah, exactly. You know, before we were saying that there was a chair keyboard interface issue. Now we'll say there's a chair headset interface issue. Yeah.
So in addition to the terrain engine and getting your terrain updates in, are you guys also looking at doing other 3D model updates as well as lighting updates to help continue to bring BMS into the new generation of simming?
Yes. The short answer is yes, obviously. It's a bit too early to speak about it, to be honest, from my perspective. But this is the ambition for sure. 3.6 will already bring new 3D models in planes that, to be honest, were having very old models that honestly were not really making BMS shine in any way. So we now have a couple models, more than a couple models that will update the library of 3D assets. Airwise, that was the focus until now. Hopefully we'll have more people joining in to help us getting that the 3D database of ground units updated. We've got a couple talented 3D guys that help us on that area, but since it's a very large undertaking, this is obviously requiring a lot of people working on that in parallel. So definitely we're looking into it. It's going to be long, but we are updating the 3D assets when we can, and probably within I would say minor updates of a major
That's
release.
Excellent.
Can you talk about some clouds? Any interest in new clouds for BMS?
If you're speaking about the shiny volumetric cloud and stuff like this, no. It's not in BMS. There might be consideration later on, but it's only a thought. But there are changes from a weather system perspective, and JP has done amazing work in depicting rain.
I'm not sure it's amazing, but
I find it amazing, so it's amazing.
No, there's nothing amazing, but yes, I think we try to push the limits of the sprite system. I think we've reached the maximum we can do with that. But yes, we have improved it in 4.3.6. We have some shower clouds. So you can see some cumulus clouds with rain below, and then you can enter the rain and having it. We have the visual of the rain when you enter these showers, so that's great. And we have worked a lot on the we have also improve graphics about when you are going through the cloud, because in let's say in 4.3.6, when you're going through a cloud, you have the impression that the cloud disappear in front of you instead of entering the cloud, and that's because we had to use a trick, because you know those the BMS clouds are sprites, and to make it look good, they have to face the camera all the time. Which means that when you're going through a cloud, the cloud is turning, and you see it turning, obviously. And
yeah.
And to prevent that, we use the trick. I think that I discovered it's not in Flight Sim, or I can't remember, but
FSX.
Yeah, FSX, absolutely.
FSX,
it was in
FSX, yeah.
by looking at FSX, how, because they have also sprites and everything. And I was amazed, but they don't see it turning. And as actually the trick is when you are close to it and when it starts to turn, you make it transparent. So it turns while it is transparent and it pops up in your back. And so you don't see it turning. But that way, you don't have the impression to go through the cloud. And so we found another trick in 436 that you will see. So when the cloud is turning, we are displaying another cloud in front of you by transparency. So now you have the impression to go through the cloud. It's a little detail, but it's nice.
Well, that's super interesting.
Yeah, I mean, anything you can do to bring that world more and more to life, you know, and using all these little tricks is fantastic. Because at the end of the day, a simulation is just a visual trick, you know, to immerse you into a world.
Yeah, obviously, we would want to have volumetric clouds and all those new fancy stuff, which is will be done. It will be done someday. I mean, in 20 years, BMS will be there, and we will talk about volumetric clouds. That's for sure.
So 2042.
Yeah, sure. But we improved as well the night flying. Now we have simulated the light pollution from the cities. So the clouds and the sky is kind of illuminated with the light pollution coming from the cities. When you're flying above cities, for instance, you can show. Well, you will see. It gives a more realistic experience by night.
Is there stars and stuff in the?
Yep. Come on.
Come on. I don't remember seeing any stars. I usually fly too low.
In 435, we have implemented. Alors, there always has been a complete star system in Falcon 4. No, maybe not. Maybe it's coming from SP days. Can't remember. But there is a full star system in BMS, and in 435, we have coded what we call the ephemeris, which means that you can choose your date, and you will have the exact sky, moon, moon phase, and whatever latitude or longitude you are on the globe, you will have the exactly accurate sky. So you can use it to do some.
So are you going to include? Yeah, are you going to
pretty,
include a
pretty impressive
in the cockpit so we can shoot azimuths and navigate via the stars?
No, we will not code Warbirds.
Okay, well, you know, it's worth a shot.
You can use the sextant while you're using the new basket. While you're watching someone use the basket, you can use the sextant to figure out where you are.
Yeah, and also we have the you have now the strobe effect in the clouds. So when you have your strobe on, you will see the flashes.
Oh man, I hate the strobe effect in clouds. Usually I turn the strobes off, man. Freaking, it's like, man, why is it? maybe armchair pilots like strobes in the clouds, but in real life, you're like, man, this thing's blinding.
So that's going to be a neat effect to have to battle as well.
Well, that was pretty interesting. I honestly I don't remember seeing many stars in BMS, but I haven't done too many. Night
well,
missions.
don't try a moon or full moon mission. Try to have a no moon mission and look above you and without the clouds and with a clear sky and you will see it.
So you're telling me I can find Orion's Belt?
Oh yeah, of course, absolutely. But it depends on the time of the year and the theater you fly, of course.
That's pretty cool.
Tricker, you strike me more as a guy who looked for the Big Dipper.
I don't know. That always impresses me when they get the. When they put in constellations and stuff and you're flying and you're like, oh, wow, like there's that.
Yeah, you can spot all the constellations. I think we have hundreds of, if not thousands of stars in the system.
Not to take away from.
No, of course. One of the things that's always impressed me about BMS in general is its ability to make you feel like a small part of a bigger world, and to kind of tie into everything that you guys have talked about today about building. I love the way that you described building the AI as if no players were involved, that this entire world is going to operate autonomously through AI and, you know, under a accurate skybox and through, in and out of different weather systems. It's really interesting. I've always enjoyed how when you join a mission, you're just a small part. You're jumping in at a random point in time and then flying your mission in the greater scheme of things. And it sounds like you guys are working pretty tirelessly at keeping that going.
That was the original mindset of Falcon, and this is definitely one of the things that we keep and want to keep, obviously, because this is what brought us into Falcon 4 and kept us on Falcon, and will continue to keep us on the BMS and the future of whatever Falcon you want to call it, whether it is BMS or it's something else in 20 years from now.
Is there anything else you would like to share with us with 4.36 that we may have missed?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of things. I'm to be honest, I'm currently going through my list, but there's the G training model for pilots.
A G warm up.
Yep, G warm up. So when you are entering a campaign, if you know that you are going to do like a bar cap sweep mission and you're going to face going to go ACM or dogfight, you will be constrained by the load of G's. If you have been flying very straight for a long time, your pilot will not sustain the 9 G's.
What if I'm eating like a McDonald's quarter pound of cheese before I go into the mission?
Delicious.
Well, you can dream of that. Yeah, sure.
No, that's quite interesting. It's the little things that count.
Yeah.
I agree.
What
it really is. And what about like modeling, an older aircraft that might have greater wear on it, or are there going to be any systems issues you're going to have to deal with in, that popping up?
There's already a random failure system in BMS. I don't think we've worked on improving or changing that stuff yet. We'll see along the way if this is something someone wants to take.
Well, there is a big debate, I think, on the subject because... we made sure that whatever fault you can have induced by the pilot, can be solved by the player, because it will be extremely frustrating that, in BMS you prepare your flight, particularly in MP, you have a 1 hour briefing. Let's imagine you enter your aircraft, you start the aircraft, you have a random failure. Bye bye guys, I'm sorry, and you lose the evening. So it's a bit of a debate.
Yeah, realism versus experience. That's the main debate. But to be honest, there are things that if you screw up while you are piloting, will definitely impact you. So in 3.5 we had the introduction of hot start. So you need to be very careful with your starting sequence of the engine. Mm-hmm. But now you can get a hung store. If you don't press the button long enough, you will have a hung store. So good luck with trying to reset you will need to reset your mission computer. Yeah.
What is funny with the hung store is, and we are talking about air-to-air weapons as well, is that the system doesn't know that the missile is hung unless you want to use it again.
That's not good.
Wow.
Yeah, so that can be fun in a dogfight.
Well, and that's actually, that's again, that's another one of those little tiny things that you don't think about. Tricker, I don't know how it is in the Airbus, but I know in the jets I fly, they tell you don't, quote unquote, ding dong a switch. Like when you push a switch, like a push button type switch, you have to, you push and hold it for a second until you get a result, as opposed to just like stabbing at it. So that's kind of interesting that it's going to work the same in BMS with weapon releases.
No, yeah, totally. And just to piggyback on the hung start thing, that's happened to me a couple times where I'm just hot start, sorry, not hung start, but happened to me a couple times where I'm sitting there setting everything up and then my whole cockpit is on fire. So, yeah. Thanks for implementing that, by the way.
You
I've died a few times. I've died
have
a few times.
Check your temperature, engine temperature. That's the procedure.
I mean, nobody checks that in real life. No,
and
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Sounds like somebody loves FedEx.
There's FedEx, man. We got FedEx, brother.
yeah. The scare bus technique.
What's,
yeah.
What's your F-tip?
You know, that's exactly at some point when you're coding something like the F-tip. What's the point to code the F-tip and the movement and to be accurate if you have no consequence? So the general idea is that it's interesting. We try to bring the pilot to apply the procedure because it is needed, and that's what we try to do.
No, and like I said, it's the little things that count. So it's just like that. It's just the little things that count, and it just made me laugh because it happened like four times now where I've started up, you know, the F-16, and all of a sudden I catch on fire, and I'm like, God, like, fudge, am I doing wrong here? So now I gotta watch. You know, I gotta. Got to pay more attention, basically.
Yeah, you're doing something wrong, because as far as I remember, I coded a 2% chance. Or you're very unlucky.
I must be unlucky. I'm just the worst pilot. I told you I was a crash test dummy.
You're costing the taxpayers a lot of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2%
chance.
As long as it stays virtual money, that's okay.
It's okay. Spare. I mean, I get back in the airplane, and I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
It's funny because... You say there's only a 2% chance, but then the guy that I flew with, Squeak, he's like my good buddy, and it happened to him too. Man. It happened to him too, and I was looking over there, and he's on fire, and I was like, "Oh, great!"
Yeah, but you want to? That's because it's a 2% chance if you're doing everything as per the book, but if you start the fuel before like 20% RPM, then it's higher, and it depends also on the wind direction.
The wind direction. Oh man, that's really in depth now.
Actually, but that's accurate.
It is.
Yeah,
it is
accurate. If you have a tailwind, you're going to need more airflow through the turbine to before you add fuel to it. So that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you really do want to wait for max motoring.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we had a couple of questions about the J start. You know, you have the GFS1, GFS2, and people are always complaining.
That whole debate.
The thing is that even real F-16 pilot will say that they never use GFS-1 because it doesn't. I think it's there are two bottles, or if I remember correctly.
Yes, two bottles. Yes.
Yeah. And GFS-1 only uses one. So you need to be in a super sunny condition with the right temperature and the wind in the proper direction to actually be able to use GFS-1, which pilots never do, because if they do that, good luck starting and departing on time. So GFS2 is the way to go for everyone, I would say. If you don't want to screw up, or if you want to have a better chance at starting your plane, GFS2. And even from my end, to be honest, I wait for 24-25% RPM before I put in the fuel.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. I love your dedication to the system's knowledge to not only make it work right, but like you said, so that there are consequences if you are ham-fisted with everything.
Well, that's part of what you said about the experience of being pilot as part of a war is there are consequences. If you screw up in a campaign, for example, and your flight is not able to depart, and you were a seed, what happens to the strike behind you?
And, you just have to reset the mission. I mean, you just call the commander and say, hey, can we have a total reset? Let's go back in time. That didn't happen.
Yeah, you can do that in BMS, actually, yeah.
I mean, that's realistic.
Time travel is part of the features we've implemented, yeah.
I was reading the I was reading the changelog, and another one that would be, I think, very much appreciated is HMCS upgrade.
Yep.
What specifically? Yep. In the hammocks? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well,
it's operating in air-to-ground mode, fully implemented.
Yep.
Okay, nice.
As well as the RWR logo also that you would showcase who's targeting you and direction of the threat.
Oh, nice.
And also you will have a brand new, it's part of the realism. You can screw up your HMCS if you don't align it.
So you got to align it now, huh?
Yeah, you got to align it, yes.
This thing's getting super involved and intense. I like it.
Yeah, well, that's you know our motto. Huh? It's as real as it gets.
The longer you fly with the higher G you fly, it will get disaligned and you have to align it regularly. So good luck with that.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Long missions with high movements.
You have high confidence in me. Good luck with that trick here.
No, I'm saying that because last time I tried, you know, I was totally lost about this procedure. That's fuck it. I just shut it down.
Yeah. It gets a bit confusing at start because even for us, we need to. To be honest, this is also the thing that is a bit one of the constraints. Is that sometimes you discover features and you have not tested it, so you just like, oh shit, what have I done? It's not working properly. Even after that, you're checking. You say, oh, someone coded something and I forgot to look how it's supposed to work. So you have to double check, triple, quadruple check before you actually report a bug because sometimes it's just you not understanding how the system works.
Oh yeah, no, I've run into that many, many times in various sims along the years. I'm like, it's not working the right way. Well, are you doing it correctly? I don't know.
Well, it happens every day.
Too, sport. Sound like you
say
were.
What?
As I said, did you hit yourself too? You sound like you were disappointed in yourself.
I was doing my best, Chris Farley.
Well, that was a lot of changes. I mean, anything else particular that you would like to share about 4.36 before we head out?
A couple of things. We spoke about the systems, but there are a couple of changes in the weapons as well.
AGM 88, maybe?
Yeah, HARM system, and also the Maverick 65 Lima.
So you got the laser map now.
The laser, yeah.
Laser map, yeah. Yeah, so early implementation of it, but it will be in release.
Interesting.
And the HARM is now completed with the threat tables can now be defined in the DTC and in the DED tables as well. So it's
there's some big changes.
To be honest,
so this is I mean, just thinking back through the whole discussion, this is a fairly air-to-ground intensive update.
It's a very intensive update. What you need to realize is that when we are releasing when we released 4.35. I think 4.36 was always at least 1 year and a half in development. So that means each version we release has more or less between 2.5 and 3 years of development. So we try to squeeze that period because we would like to have closer release. But that means that, we started 4.36 like 1 year and a half, 2 years before 4.35 release. So yes, there are many changes.
So it sounds like you have multiple releases. And just talking briefly about the software development approach that you're taking, you mentioned that you have some new tools that you're using. What are the new tools? Is it open source? And are you guys, are you on GitHub? Are you exposing the code out there looking for pull requests?
So we are transitioning to Git. It's an internal Git server, so we are not exporting the code publicly for multiple reasons. So we cannot. That's just we cannot expose the code.
Got
that's,
licensing.
That's a straight answer. Licensing issues foremost. Yes.
Got it.
But yes, we are transitioning to Git in order to be able to follow up with also the new people we include in the coding space, because a couple of them are real life developers, so they want to use the tools that they use in everyday life. So obviously we are transitioning to that, we are putting new internal tools as well to start collecting information, trying to not lose momentum in trying to find information here and there. It's always the matter of not losing track of what has been changed. Communication is key in such a team, because obviously not everyone's working at the same hours. We've got people around the world. I mean, we've got people in all major continents over the world. And I'm not kidding. We've got people in Asia, we've got people in Australia, we've got people in Europe mostly, US, Americas, globally speaking, South America as well. So we've got people all over the world, and communication is key, because we need to interact, we need to exchange information, we need to debug together, we need to... it's a very dedicated team. We've got a core of people that are very dedicated to make BMS better, and the key is to be able to exchange and to be able to test, to be able to report. It's part of the things that I wanted also to improve as part of as me coming up to the team. So I'm very much into it and trying to bring something to the team through that.
That's great.
So if people wanted to come join your team and help out and make BMS, you know, join the dream that you guys have for BMS, how can they get in touch with you, or how can they lend a hand?
So we've got, through our website, we've got a form that you can fill in order to offer your services basically to BMS. Just bear in mind, not everyone will make the cut. The spirit around here is we want to preserve the team, so we wouldn't take someone that we don't feel that will do or that will fit with the global spirit of the team. So we are a bit picky on the people we select, but that's for a good reason. The BMS and people working in Falcon for so long have been able to continue working together because they have found it strong links, strong connection together.
Anybody else have anything else to add before we wrap it up?
I have two things that I wanted to add up as part of the questions that were definitely asked.
Okay.
One thing we forgot is the question about the DX keys on joysticks, because with all the new monsters we've got with more than 32 keys, we've got that covered in 3.6. So you can have now, I think, up to 128 DirectX button supported, but you'll need to indicate that through the config files. But we've got that covered, and also we implemented stuff for the multiplayer in order to protect, especially in the context of multiplayer in teams versus teams. We now have a bit more protection when it comes to trying to spy the other side. It was something we detected in the last DVT we did. So we wanted to bring a couple of features like that will help with securing a bit the end and make it, I'm sure everyone enjoys the game without having suspicions. That wraps up more or less what we wanted to share as part of 3.6. There's obviously a lot of things we missed because the changelog is super extensive, so it wouldn't have been good to go through it in deep dive, because it doesn't make sense. We leave a couple other surprises to people to discover on day one for the release, and hopefully people will enjoy it as much as we dedicated our time and sweat trying to bring the best experience in BMS.
No, I'm sure they will, because we appreciate you for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge and expertise. I know everybody's going to enjoy 4.36, so when this releases, then 4.36 should be coming out. So I do appreciate everybody coming on. Max,
thank
and
you very
JP.
Much.
Thank you.
Again, thanks for sport in the hangar.
Thanks for putting up with the noise.
And Rob over in Austin, hanging out. Appreciate everybody joining.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
No, appreciate it. That was fun. A lot of exciting stuff coming from 4.36, so can't wait to get into it.
Thanks for listening to Air Combat Sim. Don't forget to subscribe or tell a friend about it. You have a question, idea for an episode, or a special guest you'd like us to invite? Feel free to reach out on Facebook, Discord, or via email. Air Combat Sim was brought to you by BVR Productions.